There are two things I want to emphasize and tell you before we go on. And if today's your first day, just listen. Don't take this too serious until God is speaking to you. The number one is that for some weeks now, many of you come to church and you see one of these forms on your seat. This form has to do is Vineyard North Church. We call it Building Fund Pledge Form. We hesitated in giving this out because we were hoping that during the time that we are all doing our taxes and everything, as God has blessed us with this facility, during our tax season, some of you are paying extra taxes. I mean, and I know how that feels like. And then some of you are receiving something back. So we're holding this on, and somebody told me, Pastor, if you have this in mind, please do it before I finish all my money. And so that's why it's been out the past few weeks. But today is official day that we're going to release this. And if you have had one before, here is the deal about this whole thing. A few weeks ago, I have a friend from South Africa who came here and made a profound statement. And the way he said it was, you pray for the church, you also pay for the church. That I just wanted to know, again, which many of you never knew that having been blessed and sent out by our main campus church from Cooper Road, we were honorably blessed and in every area, and we have all the blessing that we can have from our fathers in the Lord now, church family and other things. But when your son grows up and your son marries and moves out of home, you're not going to pay all their bills for them. You're not going to pay their water bill, their light bill, their house rent. You know, if you do that, you're going to spoil this. I mean, what kind of family is he going to raise? You let them live. You let them take care of themselves. You let them mature. You let them learn how life is. And that's how we have been. That's how we have been. And so by that, I'm saying we do not receive any financial support, not from the Pope in Vatican, and not from Cooper Road, our sending church, and not from our headquarters in California or in Texas. We do not. So everything that has happened here in almost 5 years existence as a church, every single thing has been done by you, Vineyard North Church members. Some people have gone way beyond what is normal, have generously given to purchase us this building, to care for the church for all the years that it has been in existence, and continue to do that. If you've been here for a while, you realize that we don't pressure you to give offerings. Our offerings are just, and some of you, you give online or you text and then you give. Now, as God has brought us this, what has happened is that before we got the building and moving here, our income has actually gone down for almost a year now. But you have a great stewards of people that take care of your finances. And by the grace of God, we saved a lot of money because some people were passionate to get this done, so they were giving. So we've been taking care of our church and our things from our savings, and we are almost done. And then the church has to be paid for because it's not a paid-for building. Just like you buy your house, you still have your mortgage to pay, and so do we. And so our income has gone down, but our expenses have become four times that. And yet we have been able to go through for a whole year without complaining or talking about it. So what I'm saying is, if you get this, what I need you to do is that you are giving yourself 3 months. We want to receive this form back from you in the next 3 weeks. But you are giving yourself 3 months or 6 months, however much you want to do, that you are going to give to help support us in paying for what we need to pay monthly for our building. But most importantly, we want to develop a classroom. You know, our kids have great place to worship, but we have half of this building is not done. So if you have not gone almost every corner, you don't know this building. So this half has another half behind, which is not done, which we intend to create some extra classrooms. And that is going to cost us a lot, but we want to take it one step at a time. So, depending on how much God uses you to bless the church, we may start that process or we may take our time. Depending, God has always surprised us. So, I'm never, I have let me tell you, I've never worried about us. I've never. The reason why I've never is maybe I should not talk about the second one. Just go ahead and preach and tell you the reason why I've never been worried. I've never thought about whether God will do what he wants to do. Because you see, God will do what he wants to do in spite of me and in spite of you. One day somebody challenged me with a scripture. I heard somebody speaking about a scripture that we've all heard it before. We've all have heard that many times. And the scripture is this, that you know. It says, if you believe, all things are possible. If you believe, all things are possible. Reverse side of that, or other way of saying it is that, all things are possible to him who believes. And that was a statement that Jesus made. So now, think with me for a second. Think with me. All things are possible to him that believes. The funny thing about hearing that statement is that you can be a Christian who have heard that all the time, and it's just a theory and a statement in your head. But picture it as words, and picture God, and picture God saying, all things are possible. So here is the deal. What if that is true? What if it is true that all things are possible to the one who believes? I chose to believe. I choose to believe him. And have seen many possible things. And when I don't see what I am believing, what my heart tells me is that it's on the way. It's on the way. And many times I come across at a corner and then I realize that, oh, I was believing this 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and it has actually even happened. I don't even remember I was believing for this. Because it did not happen when I was looking at it or waiting for it. But then I found out that, oh, that was one thing I was looking for a long time. Look, it's here. It's here. Today, I want to continue a series that we began introducing ourselves to last week. And the series has to do with faith. It has to do with faith. And last week, we began with faith by looking at this huge, complex subject. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. And you don't know which part of faith to go, but the way the Holy Spirit narrowed this for us is we are talking about how faith works, or working faith. How faith works, or the faith that works. The faith that works. And so last week we discussed what faith is not. That faith is not boldness. Faith is not confidence. Faith is not some extra powerful courage. Faith is not like because you speak hard and loud and you yell and you shake and you sweat. That is not faith. And faith is not being quiet and being dull and being neither of that. But we said faith can produce that. Faith can produce all those things, but those things do not necessarily mean someone has faith. And then we talk about what really faith is. And so we said faith, according to the way Hebrew defined that for us, it says it's a substance in Hebrews 11:1. It's a substance. So here is the deal. A substance of thing hoped for. An evidence of thing not seen. So here is how I will help us look at faith again. Number one, substance. Hope. Evidence. Three words. Substance, hope, evidence. Substance, hope, evidence. Faith is a substance of something you are hoping for. Evidence of something you have not seen. So here is the deal. The faith you are looking at, we are talking about, is that substance. Something that you are hoping for. Like, I'm hoping, you are hoping to be married. You are hoping to start some business. You are hoping to be this godly Christian. You are hoping to stop some character, some lifestyle. You are hoping to do that, but you are not able to do that really. But you are hoping. You are not there yet, but you have that hope. You want to. You have the desire for. And you are seeking God. And so you know that thing, that substance you are looking for. And you are hoping for that. But the evidence that shows that that thing can happen, you can't see the evidence. The evidence is not seen. So the way you get that evidence is that you look at who is the author of that faith. Where does faith come from? Who is faith? What is faith? What does that thing, how does faith even dress like? If you meet faith on the street, will you really even recognize faith? Will you, like, that's faith going, yeah, I'm going to grab that. Or you go to the grocery store and there's faith displayed there, you want to buy it. How do you even find this faith? Of course, Jesus himself is the author of faith. He's the one who inaugurates faith. So God is faith himself. God gives himself to us. He is that faith himself. He's the author. He's the author and the one who begins it, the one who finishes it, who starts it, who finishes. He's the beginning. He's the originator. He's the faith himself. And so when I confidently place my whole being in Christ and I trust and totally depend on him, I'm setting myself up for something. For that is the evidence. The evidence of a God that I don't see. The evidence of the one who healed the sick, who raised the dead, who created the heavens and the earth, who did everything. I have seen some evidence. I've heard of some evidence. But the one I am hoping for, I don't have the evidence. My evidence could be in Christ himself, who is the author, that what he has done in the past is able to do that with me today. I want to invite the Holy Spirit as we break into deeper in this sermon. So Father, speak to us. And just as the disciple asked you, we ask that same question. Increase our faith. For those of us who believe and still want to believe more, we want to say with a blind man that we believe, but still help our unbelief. And indeed, if all things are possible for him that believe, then help our unbelief. Help us. Come in Jesus' name. Speak to us. Amen. So quickly we look at some types of faith and we say, okay, scripture talks about faith that move mountains. There's the gift of faith in Corinthians 12 and Corinthians 13 talk about faith, hope, love, and faith, and the greatest is love. So there's faith that people used to pray for the sick. You know, James said, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. So that's another expression of faith, that people have faith to declare, to speak, and to do things. So these are all faith. That's faith that brings salvation in Christ. That faith that gives us salvation. That Ephesians 2:8 tells us that if we believe Jesus Christ, that we have been saved by grace through faith. We've been saved by grace through faith. So there's that faith that brings us salvation. But after you receive that salvation, when you want to continue to live your life in living your natural life, how do you continue that life? You need another kind of growing faith to live that life, to have that faith that you believe to continue to work with you in all your life choices. That's why we talk about faith that works. And so here is the deal. I want us to look into three things today, or maybe some few things. And the first thing I want to look with you is that this scripture of the guys that came to Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and the verse 5, and then they told Jesus that Jesus should increase their faith. Says, increase our faith, Lord. Now, when they came to Jesus and said that, it's because Jesus has been talking to them about forgiveness. And Jesus has said that if somebody sinned against you seven times in one day, I need to forgive that person seven times. So today seven, tomorrow seven, the next day seven, The following day, 7. So in 1 week, 7 times 7, mass people, is it 49? What is it? Okay. And so the following week, and then continue. So every day is 7. Now, how many of you will have that patience for that? Like, and so when they hear Jesus teaching, Jesus talking, what they said is that, boy, please, Lord, increase our faith. Because what you are saying, we don't know how we can do that naturally with ourselves. Increase our faith. So the need to have our faith increase is a good need. It's a big deal, but it's a good need because it will help us even in things like forgiveness, in things like coexisting with other people. We are as different, as diverse as we are, and we are responding to things in a diverse, in a different way as we all do. And so something that is good for you may not be good for the other. And you see, doing life together, we step on toes and we scratch each other on our journey, either in the home, in the church, in the workplace, wherever. So how do we forgive that? So you need our faith even increase in the way we forgive. But the amazing thing is that the life that we live itself, the way Bible talks about life, is that he says, for this life, we live this life by faith and not by sight. In fact, that statement is clearly stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verse 7 make this clearly. He says, for we live by faith and not by sight. Now, some of you are living your life as a single person, not because, and you don't desire to be single for the rest of your life. You want to be married. And how you keep yourself pure and how you continue your life and still trusting God, you need faith there. You live that life, you'll be able to overcome the challenges that comes on your way when you refuse to focus on your need and then focus on God. And that has to be daily thing, everyday thing. And so the way you can live that life is to live it by your faith that is in Christ Jesus, that he has something great for you, and then you are trusting him, waiting for his time. It's the same way when we are married. It's the same way when we are working. It's the same way when we are raising children. It's the same way when we are building our business. Whatever we are doing in this life, we are living. And so whilst we are living, the way to live this life as a Christian, the way you can actually live this life is by your faith in Christ and not by what you see. So you realize that the things that you see and the things that you hear are very powerful. They are so powerful that they can actually change your choices, influence your decision making, and make you make wrong choices and wrong decisions. But when you do not focus on what you are seeing and you do not focus on what you are hearing, and then you focus on God, a typical example is when Jesus was coming on the water and everybody was afraid, and Peter said, Lord, if it is you, ask me to come. Now, here is the deal. When they found out it was the Lord, nobody rushed out to step into the water. It would be stupid to do that. Nobody did that, but that's what we did. We just step out. But Peter said, if it's you, ask me to come. And the Lord said, come. And so when Peter heard the word of the Lord that says, come, what Peter did was that he did not think about the storm that he saw a few minutes ago. He did not even think about that I'm stepping out into water. All that happened is that he just heard the Lord say, come. So the guy became so crazy that he lost sight of that he's on water. He just jumped out and then found himself walking towards the Lord. And then all of a sudden realized that, oh no, this is water. What have I done? And then began to sink. He said, help me, Lord. And then Lord reached out and helped him. So here's the deal. To live by faith, as we saw last week, is not to be focusing on all our troubles and all our sicknesses and all our diseases and all the broken heart we suffered and all the challenges. Those things are going to be part of this. Those are what we call the living. That's how you live. But how you overcome that is to lose sight of the impact of that and then let your focus be on the one who says, come. Who says, come. And as you focus on him, you're able to walk on that storm, on that water. And then when it gets tougher, because sometimes it gets tougher and you're almost about to sink, what you do is that you cry out to the Lord for help. And that's how Jesus reaches out and helps all of us here. Now, let me say that In all our Christian life, the way we have talked about faith, it's also sometimes we present faith as if faith is this magic thing that makes everything work every time. When we introduced this topic, I told you some of the things we're going to be talking about. And one of them was to talk about faith and fear. Faith and fear. So the question is, if I have faith, will I also be afraid? If I have faith, can I fear something? Can I be afraid of a thing and also still have faith? Well, I find a simple answer to that in the Psalms. So the Psalm 23, which I love. I love the Psalm 23, and I think you should love that. All our children love the Psalm 23. Let's run through that quickly, okay? Let's run through that quickly and see the story of one of our most beloved saint, our most beloved believer. He says, the Lord, God himself, is my shepherd. I shall not want. That statement alone is a statement of faith. He's saying, because this one here is my shepherd, I will not want anything. I will not be in lack, in need of anything. But we do know that there was a time in David's life that he had many wants. What he's saying is that as long as I am in charge, I have wants and needs. As long as the Lord is my shepherd, I will have no wants. Because the Lord has it all. When I am by myself, I have many wants. I needed protection, I needed security, I needed that, I needed that. As long as the Lord is my portion, my shepherd, and he is saying this out of experience of seeing God showing up over and over and over and over and over again as an evidence of what God has continuously been doing in his life, he can boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd. He's watched me with the bear, with Goliath, with the lion. He's watched me run away and hiding in caves. He watched me during many wars. He, in fact, have been in very many vulnerable situations. He's watched over me. And that's why I can say, I shall not want. I have found myself in many difficult situations, and the Lord has been there as the shepherd who rescues and protects and defends and supports. And so as long as the Lord is shepherding and watching me, I can tell you that I will have no one. He will be in charge. He'll be in charge. I shall not want. Why? From experience, he knows he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul in troubled times, in anguish times, in brokenness, and in frustration times. And when to say he restores my soul, it's not just a statement. It's a statement of fact. As how God has restored his soul many times in troubled times. In times when things were all broken and all bad, and how God came through and restored him. So he knows how God has done this. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth overflow. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you go back to the previous verse, when he talks about the verse 4 and 3, he restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Here is the deal. I want to talk about fear, faith and fear. This is a man of faith, one who, when everybody, including King Saul, runs away from Goliath, who goes to Goliath, and Goliath is armed, covered, from head to toe, and he comes as a little boy, not covered, not armed, but with a sling and 5 little stones. And Goliath said, look at you. What do you take me for? A dog? A dog? Are you coming against a dog? Goliath, remember, is covered with brass and iron all the way from head to feet. And he comes in with just normal clothing and a sling and five stones, and Goliath having sword. And not only Goliath, other giants beside Goliath, and the whole nation of the Philistines standing with Goliath. And this boy comes alone with the nation's army hiding in a cave and trying to hide, and the king hiding in the palace. So here is the deal. Here is the deal. If David at this time will look at the armory of Goliath, will look at the clothing, the protection of Goliath, will look at the sword of Goliath, will look at the army, the vast army of the Philistine, and their hopes, and their shouting, and their yelling, yeah, yeah, we will kill them, oh, yeah, yeah. If you will hear this, and then you hear the sound that the king is now in hiding, your brothers are in hiding, the whole Jewish army are in hiding. So what you are seeing, what you are hearing, it quenches every soul. Doesn't give you the courage to step out. But this young man refused to let what he's seeing, refused to let what he's hearing, not what people are just telling him, but what he can visually see and hear, he refused to let that dictate the course of God's purpose for his life. And that's what I want to tell you today. What you are seeing can be scary. What you are feeling can be scary. What you are hearing can be scary. And here is the deal. It's not just hearing and seeing. They are real. You know, sometimes certain things are just words and people talking. Other times it's real. It's real, not because someone is saying, but you can testify to it. You've seen it, you can. It's real. The realities are there. And he comes with a stone, and he made a statement that I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts of Israel, whom you have defied. And you know the story. Going to kill the giant, and then telling the giant, I'm going to kill you today. Now cut off your head. Without having anything to cut the head. But you see, Goliath has come with one. Goliath has come with a sword that will take care of his own head without knowing. Here is the deal. Here is the deal. If you are facing a situation that is that huge and that big, that is that standing that tall in front of you, how do you face that? He declared, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. That's where the whole thing lies. And let me show you something. When David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. What David is saying here, the mentioning of fear is acknowledging that there is an amount of fear there. That he has the faith in the shepherd. He has the faith in the one who will lead him beside the still waters. He has the faith in the one who will lead him in the path of righteousness. He still has faith in this God. And so he says, because of that, I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is a place of fear, but I choose. In that place of fear, I choose faith. I will fear no evil is a statement of saying, I will choose not to fear the evil that I see, the valley that I'm walking through, the storms that are coming, the challenges that are coming. I am choosing not to fear what I am seeing in this valley of evil. So the evil is tangible, is real, is there, but I'm choosing not to fear. So the fear is there, but I'm putting myself in the faith of the shepherd, who is more than enough, that I have the evidence of how he has shepherded me, how he's led me, how he's comforted me, how he's restored my soul. So now that I am facing this evil, I am changing my focus from focusing on this evil and this valley. I'm switching my focus to the one who is able to prepare a table before me in the presence of all this evil. And so I can walk through by shifting my focus and focusing on this. Here, I want to check with you on a story. I call this the story of faith, pain, sadness, and need. It's a true story. It's a story of pain, a story of faith. It has some pain in it, sadness in it, and there's a need in it. Here, I have heard it said that if you believe in God, if you have your faith in God, nothing bad can happen to you. You will go through you so many things said. I've heard it said before. It's no struggle in faith. There's no frustration in faith and in God. But well, in my own life, I've been working with Him. I can't count many, but I know I've been frustrated a few times. I can't count many. Actually, this I know, that I have actually experienced fear of certain things, and I can count some, even right now in my head. And yet, there was faith, and yet there was fear. But the faith overcame the fear. It's like the light shines in the darkness. See, the light shines in the darkness. The faith overcame the fear. Faith pushes the fear out. Pain. I have seen people in pain who still have faith, battling a disease and overcoming it. I've seen people with sadness who still have faith. I've seen people, like right here, right now in this room, there could be many of us who have a need. A need for this. I need that. I want that. I desire that. God, will you do that? How can I get this? How will I get that? Have that need and still have that faith. Maybe the need is not met yet, but you have that faith. Maybe you fall in between the search for that and yet get up from the falling and keep moving on in that faith. And that's how it's supposed to be. That in the pursuing of that, you can miss your mark. As long as your total dependence is on Christ, you get up and you go back to that. So let me share the story with you. The story is said about a man who feared God. He feared God. He loves God. The Bible calls him a man of God. He is married and has children. For whatever reason, he has financial problems, financial needs. And so he has to borrow money or borrow some things that equals money to take care of his wife, his children, his home, whatever he has to take care of, he has to take care of. So he has to borrow money to do that. But this man who believes in God, who has faith in God, that everyone have a testimony that he reveres, reverend, and respect and fear God. Everyone, the Bible calls him that he reveres, he feared God. He lived his life right. Yet that man had that need of money, that problem. He was in debt. He was in debt. Now, I don't know who is here. Like, I don't know whether it has to do with maybe not being faithful in your tithes and your offering, or maybe you have been faithful and honest in your tithes and offerings, but still, maybe that need is still there. No, there are people who can do everything right. I mean, I have seen people who have lived honest, truthful to the best that they can do, and yet certain things that you expect to happen to them, it does not happen in the time that we are expecting. You see other people. Now, for instance, I mean, those days in Egypt, not the real Egypt, but our Egypt, seen somebody who have several abortions and still go ahead and have a baby, and someone who had just one, out of frustration and pain and what people would say, had one and never had a baby since then. No, how do you equal that? And how does God treat each one of us based on his love for us? It's always different. But this man, his fear for God and his love for God is so real and so genuine and so authentic that the Bible testifies about it. The story is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 4. And the way the Bible records that, I mean, this is a beautiful story. You should do devotion with it the whole week. So turn your Bible quickly. Let's point out some few things, and that will be our closing research into this story of faith, pain, sorrow, or sadness and need. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. You know that he revered the Lord. He feared the Lord." You know that, prophet Elisha. You know my husband feared God. You knew that. "But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Let's pause here. So that's the whole story. That man feared God. That man loved God. That man walked with one of the most anointed men on earth. That man was working with Elisha. Elisha performed double the miracles of Elijah. He is a guy who parted waters. He is a guy who can throw a stick in water and an ass head was swimmed up. This guy is a guy that people ate something that they had diarrhea, like bad diarrhea. And he can just turn some things and cook something else for them to eat, and then diarrhea will cease right away. All the ulcers and pain goes right away. This is the guy, he's the guy that a whole nation, a city, the water they were drinking was so bad that when they drink, they get sick, and they get sick, and they say there's death in the water. And then he can take salt and pour over the salt and put the salt in that, and then they take the same water and then they drink that, and then the dead water, the bad water, is now healthy water. If you walk with such a person, his faith rubs on you. And so he's walked with a man who has a tremendous amount of faith, and he's lived with him. He's seen a lot of signs and wonders. And yet, whilst doing life with this servant of God, he was in debt, and his finances couldn't be resolved. And he was borrowing, and whatever was the issue, he died without being able to pay all his debt. And now, the people that he owed, they don't care he was a man of God. They don't care he feared God. They don't even care he prayed for them. They want their money from his wife. And in those days, if you can't pay the money, we can take your children to settle the debt. So he came to take the two children to settle the debt. So he went to the man of God and said, "Will you help? How can you help?" Let's move on. What the man of God said, the prophet replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" So here is the deal. I have seen in our Christian work many times that, for instance, like we are talking about doing a building support thing, people will say, "Oh, I don't have anything. I don't make much. I cannot give. I cannot do that." You are cheating yourself any time you do that. You are cheating yourself any time you don't want to be involved or give or support things. You are cheating yourself big time. See, because in Christ, if you don't have, you don't receive. When Jesus told the guys that this guy who had one, take that one that he did not use, take it from him and give to the one who has the 10, because the one who has, more will be given. The one who did not have will never have. I mean, that's another thing for another day. But here, if he has anything, he would have taken care, she would have taken care of her business. But here's what the prophet is saying. What do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she replied, except a little oil. Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask a few." So she went around and asked for jars, and then they brought it home. And Elisha said, "You, when you go home, the little oil you have, pour the little oil into these big containers that I'm asking you to go and borrow." So the story is that they went around, they borrowed many containers. They asked for people to give them barrels and jars and stuff, and they brought it home. Elisha was like, "When you go home, shut the door. Shut the door, and then don't let anybody who don't believe see what you are doing. And you take the little oil which is in that little bottle, pour that little oil into the big containers, and keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring." And that's what they did. They did that until all the barrels were full. And when he said, "Bring me the next container," her son said, "Mama, the last one is used." And then, as soon as they said there is no other container, the oil ceased. Here's the deal. When she has all the oils filled with all the big containers, she went back to the man of God and said, "Pastor, guess what happened? We poured the oil, and all these big containers got full. What do we do next?" And so Elisha was, go sell it and pay your debt. And then you and your children, your sons, live on the rest of the income. This is how I'm going to help us to end our service today. Here is the deal. Here is the deal. I call this the story of pain, sadness, and need, because you see all that in this story. How do you serve God this faithful and still be that needy? The answer is, you can have faith and still have needs sometimes in your life. The good news is that if you hold on to that faith will become a light, will shine over the need, and in God's own time, that need will be resolved. How can you have faith and experience pain and sadness? The answer is, it's possible. You can have faith and experience pain and sadness. What makes this story pain is that losing your lovely husband who feared and served God is a painful experience. But it's more painful when people come and say, we are taking your children, they're going to be our slaves because you owe us. And because I cannot pay, but taking my children, have we served God in vain? Did we give our life to Christ and committed to him in vain? Has it come to this point that we cannot put a meal on the dining table? Can we love God and yet experience some of these challenges? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. And why is that? Because you live in a world that is broken, that is imperfect, that evil moves like wind. But yet, you live in a world that when you give your life and he becomes your shepherd, when that wind blows, he leads you beside the still waters in spite of the wind. We live in this place that when the wind blows, he restores your soul when you are in that pain. The pain may come, but he'll restore. You know what restoration means? It means taking back to the perfect place, going back to what is the right one. He restores, like replacing every broken piece, bringing it back. Can I have faith and still experience all these challenges? Yes, Jesus has faith. His faith has to take him through the cross and to suffer all the challenges. Here is the deal. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell oil and pay your debt. You and your sons can live on what is left. Let's talk about how. How can you and I get our faith to work? Remember, our title today is Faith That Works. So how can that faith work? How can I have that hope and everything and then have those needs and all that intertwined? How can I have my faith overcome my challenges? How can I help my faith or live in my faith and overcome all this need, this pain, this sorrow, these challenges? How can that happen? The answer is still right here in the text. The answer is that she presented her pain, her trouble, her need to the pastor, to the prophet. And then the prophet showed her the solution. But then the solution will not happen automatically. She has a role to play. And the role she's going to play sounds stupid, sounds abnormal. So here is the deal. She goes to the man of God and then tell her story. And the man of God was, you go home. Go and borrow Ken. Now here is the deal. Your husband went about borrowing stuff, right? And your husband couldn't pay and he's died. He's dead and your children are now about to be enslaved. And you come to the pastor and he's saying, you two go and borrow. Does that make sense to you? And are you going to do that? What if I don't get what you are saying? Then my children will really become slaves, including myself. So the pastor was like, go borrow a lot of empty vessels. And when you borrow, take the little oil you have, pour all the oil into these big, big barrels. Pour that little into these big, big barrels. So this is how to make our faith works. The way we make our faith works is to put the word of God to work. How does faith work? Faith that works is the faith that puts the word of God to works. So James says it this way. He says, don't you know that faith without work is dead? Don't you know that? You say you have faith. Then you should put that faith to work. To what work? The work will be based on what is God saying about the situation. What is God saying to me in this agenda? Even if I don't get a result, I can still trust him and put his work, his word to work. So the miracle happened here. The pain, the sorrow, everything, faith won. They believe and all things became possible. And the way that things became possible is that they heard the word of God from the man of God. And they put that word to work. And because they put that word to work, they got God's kind of results. That faith worked. Going to see the man of God was an act of faith. Going home to borrow the cans and the containers was an act of faith. And pouring your little oil into that big thing was an act of faith. It was an act of faith not based on her own imagination. It was an act of faith based on the word of God. So we'll finally read our final scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10, verse 17 says that faith comes from hearing the word. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. Here's how we are ending our service today. Faith will come by hearing the word of God. That's how the faith will come. But how will that faith work? That faith will work when you put what you have heard to work. When you do what he says you should do. When you apply, you become a word practitioner. One who practices what Jesus is saying. So, whether it's regarding this, whether it's regarding prayer, whether it's regarding marriage, whether it's regarding work, whatever issue about life, if we can turn our focus from what we see, what we hear, and focus on what God is saying, and then put what God is saying to work. If we can do it as she did, that she heard the word that came from God through the prophet Elisha. And she went home and did exactly what God has asked her to do. So she got God kind of results. We are going to pray. We are going to pray today. And then we are going to pray and focus on our prayer by asking the same question that Samuel one time asked God. When God came to Samuel and called him Samuel, Samuel, he didn't know the voice of God. He didn't even know it was God. But after Eli has taught him that this is God, he said, speak, Lord. Your servant is hearing. Speak, Lord, for your servant is hearing. For some of us, maybe what we need is that if we can really hear God, we will obey. And for some, God will be saying, I gave you a little instruction about an action, a lifestyle, a choice, or something weeks ago, months ago, and you have not obeyed that one yet. So let's finish that before we go to the next level. If we can really hear God, then we will obey. That's some of us. Others, we are not hearing God, so we don't even know what to obey. This word that brings faith, the way you get that, so you pick your Bible and you read. or you hear what I'm saying today, and you making a decision that I know what God says about how to raise my family. I know what God's word says about how to care for my elderly. I know what God's word says about how to take care of my finances. I know what word of God says about how to relate in his church and in this life. I know some of those things. And from today, I'm choosing to believe that to obey God and to do what he's saying is better. And I'm going to do that. And when I do that, I'm living by faith. When I do what God is saying, I'm living by faith. Not based on what I have or do not have, but it's based on what God is saying. And that I want to say, give me grace. Give me grace, Lord, to obey you. That I can get God kind of results. Amen. Amen. Here is going to be our ministry and prayer time. You hear this word of God come to you. And somewhere within you, you know you need prayer. You need to be empowered so you can actually go through some life issues. You need God. However, you just need to hear from him. I'll ask all of you to stand. And if you are within that category, I'll invite you forward for a quick time of prayer of faith. The other portion, the last part of people that I would like to minister to today, will be anyone here who have laid down your original faith, your faith that you believe in Christ into salvation, that your salvation, you've laid it aside. You put away your salvation, and you are living life the way you want to live, and you want to renew your faith in Christ. You want to renew your faith in Christ. If you are financially crippled somehow, and it's like your debt, you are overwhelmed with debt. You are overwhelmed with debt. You don't even know how to get out of this situation. Just like that woman. Listen, I'll ask you to come forward and trust in this same God who leads us beside the stone waters. I'm going to believe God with you in prayer and see his spirit move and see what will happen. Close your eyes. Talk to the Father. And if any of this category ministers to you, take a step forward. Come receive prayer. Come receive prayer. The rest, just talk to him. Just talk to him. Just talk to him.